You know, if you're the kind of person who follows such things, you know that every month the government publishes the latest unemployment figures for the U.S. economy. Now, I don't know about you, but I've sometimes thought what it might look like if God were to publish unemployment figures for churches. In other words, if God were to reveal the percentage of people in every local church who are out of a job spiritually, who are unemployed for the kingdom of God, I don't know about you, but I suspect the figures for most churches would be shockingly high. Well, if you remember last week, we started a series of messages, three parts, entitled Christianity is a Team Sport. And in part one, we talked about the four dynamics of a great team, and we said that the only way we at McLean Bible Church are going to make a major impact on Washington, D.C. for the Lord is if we become a great team in the hands of the Holy Spirit. We also said last week that here at McLean Bible Church, one of our greatest weaknesses as a team is that we have way too many team members who are spiritually unemployed. People who are sitting in the stands watching instead of being down on the field serving the Lord with the rest of us. And for the next 2 weeks, this is what I want to talk to you about. Now, let me begin by saying that after being a pastor for 30 years, I believe the single greatest reason for this high level of unemployment among Christians is that so many of us don't realize that we have a divine purpose. We have a God-given reason for being here on this earth. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations." The point is that even before Jeremiah was born, God had gifted him, God had designed him, if you will, with all of his unique strengths, his unique talents, his unique skills, so Jeremiah could fulfill a specific purpose for God in his generation. Now, this was true of King David as well. The Bible says, Acts chapter 13, verse 36, "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his generation, he died." And friends, this is not just true of David, and this is not just true of Jeremiah, but it's true for you and me and every other true follower of Jesus Christ. Each of us has a purpose of God to fulfill in our generation, a purpose for which God has uniquely designed us, for which God has uniquely gifted us, literally from our mother's womb. And understanding this as a follower of Christ changes everything. It gives our lives here on earth a sense of divine destiny. It makes serving the Lord with our lives not a matter of optional choice, but a matter of sacred duty. And so today in part two of our series, we're going to talk about this, that every Christian has a God-given ministry. And when it comes to this God-given ministry we all have, the more we understand what the Bible says about spiritual gifts and spiritual gifting, the more we get it. And so today I have four questions that I want to ask and answer about spiritual gifts and gifting. And here's the first one. Number one, what exactly is a spiritual gift? Well, first, why don't we talk about what a spiritual gift is not? Spiritual gifts are not natural abilities, natural talents, or natural skills. Playing the piano, painting, shooting scratch golf, having a great singing voice, having a charismatic personality. These are not spiritual gifts. They are natural abilities. And it's true that sometimes God chooses to spiritually gift a person in an area where they already have a natural ability. And in such cases, God merely heightens our natural ability with the power of the Holy Spirit. He infuses into our natural ability His supernatural power. It's kind of like the space shuttle. You know, it's got the big brown rocket in the middle, but the big brown rocket can't get the job all done all by itself of getting this thing into orbit. So they put boosters on both sides of the big brown rocket to make sure it can get the job done. Well, friends, our natural abilities and talents are like the big brown rocket. And if God decides to turn our natural ability and talent into a spiritual gift, He puts the boosters of the Holy Spirit on either side to give us that extra power we need for it really to become not just something that is natural, but something that is supernatural in our life. However, most of the time, God does things differently. Most of the time, God gives people spiritual gifts in areas where they have very little, if any, natural talent, because then, when God uses that person in a mighty way, God gets all the credit and all the glory goes to God. You know, when I went to seminary, I had a professor named A.W. Jackson. We called him Pastor Jackson. He was the pastor at Cherrydale Baptist Church right here in Arlington, Virginia, and he had been for 25 years. And one day in seminary, I remember Pastor Jackson telling us as students about his call to the preaching ministry. He told us how he'd been raised on a farm and how as a child he had had a terrible stuttering problem. And as a teenager, he was in the barn working when he said, "I heard just as clear as a bell, God calling me and saying, 'Al, I want you to be a preacher.'" And he said, "I turned to God and I said, 'No, God, that'll never happen.'" And he said, "God said to me, 'Al,'" he said, "'you just step out in faith and do what I tell you to do.'" Well, this man went on to spend 40 years preaching the gospel. And I sat under his ministry many, many times. He was a powerful man in the word. And here's the amazing thing. When he was preaching the word, never once did I ever hear this man stutter, ever. Now, how do you explain this? How do we explain a natural-born stutterer becoming a powerful preacher like this? Well, the answer is we explain it by the supernatural gifting of God. That's how. And my point, friend, is that if you sense God ever calling you to serve Him in some way, but you don't feel that you've got the natural talent and ability to do it, don't you be afraid to step out in a faith and obey God's call anyway, because when you do, you'll discover that God loves to give us spiritual gifts in areas where we don't have a lot of natural ability so that all the glory goes to Him. This principle reminds me of Dwight L. Moody, the greatest evangelist of the 19th century. His biographer said that Moody was responsible for leading over 1 million souls to Jesus Christ between the years of 1850 and 1899. But Moody only had a third grade education. His diction was atrocious. His grammar was atrocious. His syntax was atrocious. And yet God used him to shake two continents for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, in 1883, he was invited to come speak at Cambridge University in England. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And when he went and spoke there, there was an enormous revival that broke out at Cambridge University and in the community around Cambridge University. And one London newspaper reporting on this amazing revival said this about Mr. Moody, as only the British could say it. And I quote, the newspaper said, "Mr. Moody is so uneducated and so uncouth that this work is most plainly of God, because it certainly cannot be of Him," meaning Moody. And you know, when somebody read that to Moody, that this was in the paper, Moody's response was, "Praise the Lord, this is exactly how things ought to be." Huh? Praise the Lord for that. Well, you say, "Okay, Lon, so I got what you're saying, a spiritual gift isn't, but how about telling me what a spiritual gift is?" All right, let's define it. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability to perform supernatural ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's notice three important things about this definition. Number one, let's notice the source of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are a God-given ability. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says, when it comes to spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit gives them to each follower of Jesus Christ, just as He, that is God the Holy Spirit, chooses. The point is that spiritual gifts are just that. They are gifts from the Lord, divinely bestowed upon us as Christians at the sovereign pleasure and the sovereign choosing of God. When you and I come to Christ, God doesn't hand us a little form with all the spiritual gifts listed on it and little boxes next to them. And God doesn't say, all right, check off all the gifts that you'd like to have and we'll put that in the hopper and see. Oh, no. Friends, God gives us the gifts He wants us to have. And oh, by the way, they've been given to us before we ever come to Christ because they're given to us from our mother's womb. It's just that God activates them when we come to Christ. Number two, notice the essence of spiritual gifts, and that is they are a God-given ability to perform supernatural ministry. And the key word here is the word supernatural. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, after listing a number of spiritual gifts, says, but one and the same Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, works through all these gifts. The Bible teaches that when we as followers of Christ are using our gifts properly, the Holy Spirit Himself is flowing through us and bringing Jesus Christ to bear on people's lives in a way that produces supernatural results in their lives. For example, take a secular therapist and put them in a jail and let them bring all of their professional training and expertise to bear in talking to the prisoners about their problems. And when that therapist is done, not one supernatural thing of any kind will have happened in that jail. But friend, you take a Christian with the gift of evangelism and you put them in that very same jail and let them talk to those very same prisoners about their very same problems. And when they're done, there will be supernatural fallout all over that jail. Prisoners who've accepted Christ. Prisoners who've rededicated their life to Christ. Guards who've made decisions for Christ. How do we explain the difference? It's very simple. Natural gifts can produce natural results, but only spiritual gifts can produce supernatural results. Finally, let's notice number three, the purpose of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are God-given abilities to perform supernatural ministry for ourselves. Is that what that says? Are y'all awake? Hello? Yeah. You out there? All right. For ourselves? Is that what that says? No. It says for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as every believing person, that is believers, have received a spiritual gift, use it in serving one another as good stewards of the grace of God. Watch. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In other words, my friends, to use our spiritual gifts for personal benefit, personal glory, personal advancement is an utter perversion of why God gave us those gifts to begin with. When I think of this, I think of George Whitefield, the great leader of the Great Awakening here in America from 1740 to 1770. George Whitefield had one of the greatest speaking gifts in the history of mankind, one of the greatest speaking voices, one of the most compelling speaking abilities in all of human history. David Garrick, widely regarded as maybe Britain's greatest actor of all time, but certainly one of them, said, and I quote, he was a contemporary of Whitefield, and he said, and I quote, George Whitefield has the power to move an audience to weeping merely by the way he says the word Mesopotamia. He also went on to say, I would give £100 just to be able to say the word, oh, like Whitfield does. Now, you may not know David Garrick, but I bet you all know Benjamin Franklin, don't you? Benjamin Franklin lived in Philadelphia during the years 1740 to 1770 that George Whitefield was preaching here in America. And one time when Whitefield came to Philadelphia, Ben Franklin, who was not a believer, but was very intrigued by Whitefield, went to hear him in Philadelphia. And at the time, George Whitefield was collecting money for an orphanage that he was starting in Georgia. And here's what Benjamin Franklin said, and I quote. He said, "I went," that is to hear Whitefield, "resolved not to give 1 cent. But as Whitefield spoke, first I decided to give all the copper coins I had in my pocket. Then I decided to give the silver ones too. By the time he was finished, I emptied my pockets completely into the collector's dish, gold coins and all." End of quote. Hey, folks, we're talking here about the penny saved as a penny earned guy. You know what we're talking about? And the Bible says Whitefield convinced him to empty his pockets, gold coins, copper coins, silver coins, everything into the offering plate. My gosh, a person with a gift like this could have used it for all sorts of personal benefit, all sorts of personal glory. Why, he could have been the greatest actor in the world in his day. He could have been the most powerful politician in the world of his day. Whitefield could have been a salesman and made millions of dollars in his day. But instead, for 30 years, George Whitefield rode up and down the 13 colonies on horseback, preaching Jesus Christ, using his spiritual gifts for the glory of Christ, leading tens of thousands of colonists to Christ. He wrote to his good friend John Wesley and said, and I quote, "What will become of me, I do not know, but I have decided that the good of souls and the glory of God will be my only plan of action." End of quote. Friends, this is what it means to use our spiritual gifts properly. It means using them to influence people for Jesus Christ and not for self. It means using them for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ and not for self. So let's summarize. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability to perform supernatural ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Which leads us to question number two, which is, well, who has them? That is, spiritual gifts. And the answer is, every single follower of Christ has at least one spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, "Now, to each one of us," that is, as believers, "the manifestation of the Spirit," that is, spiritual gifts, "are given for the common good." Friends, the Bible is airtight. If you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, then you have at least one spiritual gift. You may have more than one. Now, you may not know what they are, and those gifts may be lying dormant inside of you, but if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I can promise you they are there. And God wants you and me to discover what our spiritual gifts are, and then He wants us to use them in the service of the living God. This is why core value number 7 here at this church is every Christian has a God-given ministry. Why? Because every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. And if you've got a spiritual gift, then you've got a ministry for which God has gifted you, for which God has designed you, just like He did Jeremiah, just like He did David, just like He did George Whitefield, just like He did A.W. Jackson, and just like He did Dwight L. Moody. And let's be careful to say one other thing. We'll give you both ends of it. On one end, let's be careful to say that spiritual gifts are not reserved for people over the age of 21. As a matter of fact, Paul, writing his young protege Timothy, said, 1 Timothy 4, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Do not neglect the spiritual gift that is within you." If you're here today and you're in high school, or you're in junior high school, or you're in elementary school, God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has given you spiritual gifts. He just doesn't give them to adults. He gives them to high schoolers and junior high schoolers and elementary school children. And He wants you to use your gifts, my young friends, to serve Christ. And as parents, one of our jobs is to help our children when they come to Christ figure out what their spiritual gifting is and then stand with them and encourage them and help them to use their gifts for the Lord. On the other hand, let's say that by the same token, spiritual gifts don't dry up with age. At some point, as followers of Christ, it may be appropriate for us to retire from the human workforce. But my friend, as long as you and I can walk, and as long as you and I can talk, it is never appropriate for us to retire from the workforce of God. The Bible knows nothing about a Christian retiring from the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. There you go. Okay, I needed a breath. Okay, question number three. Here we go. How do I find out then, Lon, what my spiritual gifts are? You're talking about find out what your gift is and serve the Lord. Find out what your gift is. How do I find out what my gift is? Well, there's two ways to do it. Number one is by information, meaning that we learn the various spiritual gifts the Bible mentions. We learn the distinguishing features of each one. And then we compare our lives to this information to see which we match up with. You know, the Bible lists more than a dozen spiritual gifts: teaching, leadership, faith, evangelism, encouragement. And this is what we do in Christianity 401, which you can sign up for. And it begins next weekend. We go through all these spiritual gifts. We help you understand their distinguishing characteristics. And then we help you compare your life to them and figure out which ones do I have. But let me just say, nowhere in the Bible is it stated that every spiritual gift God gives people is listed in the Bible. To put it another way, you may have a number of spiritual gifts that the Bible doesn't actually mention, which leads me to way number two of discovering our spiritual gifts, and that is by experimentation. What I mean by this is by just rolling up our sleeves and hopping into the service of Jesus Christ somewhere, and then trusting God to guide us to our perfect place of gifting and ministry. Folks, I love to say it. I've said it many times. You've heard me say it. God steers a moving ship. And when we jump in and we start serving the Lord, we become a moving ship. And maybe where you're serving Him at first is not where you're ultimately gifted and where you're ultimately called to be, but become a moving ship and God will steer you eventually right to where that place is. This is how I did it. I mean, I started when I first came to Christ doing open-air evangelism on the streets of Chapel Hill, handing out tracts. And I came to Washington, and with my good friend Bob Porter, I went down on King Street every day in Alexandria and handed out tracts. And then volunteered to be a second-grade Sunday school teacher at a Baptist church in Alexandria. You know, I didn't know much about children. I'd never been around second graders. They ate me for lunch in that class. I tried my best, but they could spot a rookie right off the bat. So then I went from there to working in the Montgomery County Jail and teaching a Bible study every week in Montgomery County Jail. And friends, none of these were ultimately where the Lord wanted me. But the point is, I was a moving ship. And eventually the Lord planted me right here at McLean Bible Church, where I've been for over 30 years. God steers a moving ship. And this is one of the reasons why we here at McLean Bible Church give people such a wide range of serving opportunities. We do that so that whatever your spiritual gifts may be, you've got ample opportunity to find them here and to use them here. Question number four. And finally, well, Lon, we hear all that you're saying, but my question is, how do we use our spiritual gifts then with maximum power and effectiveness? Well, I don't know if you guys ever played. Any of you ever played the old football game on PlayStation? Any of you guys, or even the new one? Any of you guys? I know you're too embarrassed as adults to admit it, but I did, because my teenagers would invite me to play, and so I would go down and play with them. And you know, the way it works is when you get ready to kick off, there's this little power gauge that goes up and down from green to red, from green to red. And you try to time it so you hit the kickoff button when it's way up, filled up, and in the red. And that's how you kick the ball way down the field. Well, I couldn't do that. Something's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. My hand-eye coordination is just not good. And so the gauge would get all the way filled up into red, and I'd fumble around with the doohickey to kick it. And by the time I kicked it, it was back down at the bottom, and I'd do a kickoff of 4 yards. And my kids thought this was hysterical. They just couldn't get over how completely non-adept I was at this game. Now, I was abused and ridiculed for this. You said, Lon, does this have any point whatsoever? Yeah, it does. It does. Friends, using our gifts with spiritual power is a lot like playing PlayStation football. What I'm trying to say is the more filled we are by the Holy Spirit, the more powerfully our spiritual gifts will operate. In other words, the more we let that little power gauge get up in the red and let the Spirit of God fill us, the more powerfully our spiritual gifts are going to function. How powerfully our gifts function depends not on how gifted we are, but on how filled we are by the Holy Spirit Himself. And you can have 30 spiritual gifts in your life. It doesn't matter. Friends, if the Holy Spirit is not energizing them, filling them, and using them, they're of no use. And this is why Jesus said, John 15:5, for without me, Jesus said, no matter how many spiritual gifts you've got, without me filling your life and empowering your use of those gifts, you can do nothing of lasting spiritual impact. You say, well, all right, Lon, then how do you keep the little power gauge up in the red? How do we do that? Well, very quickly, how do we get the fullness of the Holy Spirit and keep it operating in our life? 3 quick principles. They're all must-be's. Number one, there must be a deliberate surrender in our life every day to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over every area of our life. Number two, there must be, second of all, a deliberate attempt every day to be obedient to God in every facet of our life. And finally, number three, whenever we fail, whenever we fall short, and we will every single day because we're sinners and we're human, there must be a deliberate repenting of our sin before God. That means we must confront our sin. We must confess our sin. We must renounce our sin. We must claim God's forgiveness and cleansing for our sin. And suddenly, the power meter fills right back up into the red again. And this must be a day-by-day, moment-by-moment process in our lives. You say, Lon, that's 4 must-be's. Well, so what? They're all true. Who cares? All right. So, let's summarize. What have we learned today? 4 things we've learned. Number one, we've learned that a spiritual gift is a God-given ability to perform supernatural ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've learned number two, that every Christian has a God-given ministry because every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. We've learned number three, that God wants us to find out what our spiritual gifts are so we can use them to fulfill our divine destiny, to fulfill God's purpose for us in our generation. And number four and finally, we've learned that the power with which our gifts operate depends not on how gifted we are, but how filled we are by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to leave you with a question today, and here's the question I'd like you to walk out of here asking yourself. The question is, what am I doing specifically to serve the Lord here at McLean Bible Church? Or to put it another way, am I fulfilling or at least searching for my God-given ministry here at McLean Bible Church? Or to put it even another way, am I giving to the Lord here at McLean Bible Church of my time, my energy, my service, my resources? Am I giving to the Lord in such a way that when I get to heaven, there'll be a line of people waiting to greet me and say, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that got changed. Now, friends, if the answer is to these questions is I don't know, or no, then we want to help you get an answer to these questions. And the reasons are two. Number one, because as a church team, we can't maximize our impact here on Washington, D.C. without every member of this team fulfilling, carrying on their God-given ministry. And number two, the second reason we want to help you with this is because you'll be shocked, my friends, how much you will grow spiritually in your personal walk with Christ when you serve the Lord. And we want this for you. We want you to have the joy that comes from serving the Lord with your life, and the excitement that comes from serving the Lord with your life, and the spiritual growth that comes from serving the Lord with your life. And to help you with this, beginning next week, for a couple of weeks, we're going to have a mechanism at each one of our campuses where you can learn about various ministry opportunities, where you can talk to people about how to get involved. But friends, this is what it's all about. God didn't put us here on earth to amass power and money and fame and fortune and creature comforts. That's not why we're here. He put us here to do a God-given ministry, to serve Him in our generation for the purpose of God that He created us. And that's how we need to see our lives. When people say, "What are you living for?" That's what we need to answer. I'm living to fulfill the ministry for which God put me here on the earth from my mother's womb. And when we do that, hey, then life takes on the kind of fulfillment and dynamic that it's intended to have. So we're going to try to challenge you to do that, and I hope that you will. Next week, we're going to talk about, okay, Lon, so I've got a God-given ministry. Okay, Lon, so I got some spiritual gifts. You still haven't answered the question, why should I use them to serve the Lord? Give me some good reasons why I should. We'll talk about that next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, remind us today why we're here. Remind us of what you said to Jeremiah, that from before his mother's womb, you knew him, you gifted him, you called him, you appointed him, you set him apart, as the Bible says, to do a ministry for you in his generation. And Lord, I pray you would give us that same understanding of our lives, that from our mother's womb, we were called and prepared and gifted by you to do the same thing. And I pray you would give us a passion to want to find that ministry and a passion to want to fulfill that ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. So speak to our hearts deeply, Father, and change the very way we view our life and our existence here on this earth, because we were here today and we sat under the teaching of the Word of God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.